right. Take your Bibles. Go over to Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 10. I want to take you there. And we're going to look at some things. I'm not going to... I want to magnify the fact, and Brother Roy touched on it in his report here of the work and the great work of God there at the camp, and that is the greatness of our God. But Philippians 3, in verse number 10, Paul talks about the power flowing from the resurrection of Christ. And folks, don't... Hebrews calls it the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life. And that's the power of our Lord. And not only the power of the endless life in Christ, but the power that flows from it, Philippians 3:10. Ephesians chapter 1, in that very prayer of Paul, he's praying. We'll go back, it's just a few pages back from where you are, in Ephesians 1, in Paul's prayer, and you see here this wonderful power flowing from his resurrection. And it's involved in this prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1, which is a great prayer for us to pray on a daily basis. And he says in verse number 16 of Ephesians 1, I'm going to read this prayer, and then we're going back to Philippians 3, okay? Ephesians 1:16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I want you to know God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, now look at this, which he wrought or worked in Christ and through Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. We not only claim the resurrection of Christ and the power flowing from it, but the ascension of Christ. He's at the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for us as our intercessor, as well as our advocate or attorney. And it says, guess where he is? He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, present tense, but also in all that which is to come. That's where Jesus is. He's put all things under his feet. He gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, church, here you are, church. You as believers, that's who the church is, believers. You as believers, here you are associated with the power of the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ. And he says, you're his body. And what the head does, the body goes along with. Amen. Wherever my head goes, most of the time my body follows. But always with him, the body follows. And we have to realize who we are in Christ. The power flowing from his resurrection continues on forever. And the ascension of our Lord. Many times we forget in the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ paid the debt for my sins. The blood of Christ atoned for the sins of the entire human race. The blood of Christ was sufficient, and his blood cleanses us from all sin. And we magnify the blood of the cross. We claim the work of the cross, which gives me cleansing and redemption through his blood. But also, after the shedding of the blood, the resurrection of Christ came. And the resurrection is that shows the power of the eternal Father, the power of Jesus in his risen body to raise his own body from the grave, thus saying it is accepted completely, 100%, the payment was accepted, and he rose from the grave alive forever, raised his own body under the power of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? And in this resurrected body, death has no hold, the grave has no hold, sin has no hold because sin has been paid for. The power of sin has been broken. Hallelujah for that. Then our Lord stayed here, and then in his ascension, recorded for us in Acts chapter number 1, he ascended up into heaven, now to appear in the presence of God for us, and that's where he is. But he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you without my presence. And his presence has been here in the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, who lives in me and lives in you and lives in every believer. So our Lord Jesus is there, but he's here in his presence in me. And church, we are identified with him. Brother Roy mentioned the poor souls that's been deceived to the point. They've been so deceived to the point they think there may be a cat, there might be an animal. I need to identify as this. I don't know who I identify as. I don't know if I identify as a male or a female or a cat or a dog or a squirrel or I don't know. That seems preposterous to us to even think that. But just to show you the power of suggestion by Satan to whisper in their ears that they are not made in the image of God. That's exactly what he's whispering. You're not made in the image of God. Evolution has taught them that. You're not made in the image of God. Therefore, flip a coin as to what you will be. But ladies and gentlemen, you and I know that God the Holy Ghost, right here in us, through us, we're the body of Christ. God has given us the power to be his witnesses, to bind the strong man, the devil. We sometimes, and you know I'm telling you the truth, we sometimes feel like that we have to just be bounced around by the devil with anything he wants to do. He can slap us upside the head, knock us against the wall, and we have to go along with it. He can throw these things and these attacks against us and to send the giants against us, as I preached this morning. He can do all of that, and we can't do a thing about it. We just have to endure. We have to stand and hide behind the shield of faith somewhere. But don't forget, in all the armor that you have, in all the armor you and I have, you have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. The sword of the Spirit was not a defensive weapon. They wasn't sparring with swords. No, that was the offensive weapon. That's what you went and killed the enemy with. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Read Ephesians 6, tells you all this. And the sword of the Spirit is that offensive weapon. Yes, we've got the armor of God on. We've got the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. But he said, take that sword of the Spirit. You're not going to be out there in the battle and the devil throwing everything at you, and all you can do is block his blows, and all you can do is hope that he don't hit you in some vital area. And oh God, we got to give in. No, you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you cut his gizzard out. Hallelujah. Cut his gizzard out. How do you cut the gizzard out of the devil? You take the truth of God's Word and you throw it right at him. Now, the word of the devil does not have the power that the word of God has. The word of God is the very breath of God himself. It was the word of God. Remember, you've been studying in Sunday school when the Lord was taken into the wilderness and was tempted. And it was the word of God that he used to defeat the devil every time. The word of God cut the gizzard out of the devil then. when Jesus approached him and he approached Jesus. And the Word of God does that today. It is the truth and it has the power. Now, you and I today, it's high time that the church, and when I talk about the church, I talk about us as believers. Yes, I'm disturbed that many of the, and this that's what these services is for, to intercede and interfere with Satan's attack against our youth and our young people. But I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but the choir needs preaching to. And the choir, which includes me, is we, us, have forgotten the power of the Word of God itself in the truth. And we allow ourselves to be bounced around, and that should not be. No way, form, or fashion. We are the people of God. We can say in Jesus' name and through His blessed and through His blood, get thee behind me, Satan. We can say the giant is destroyed by the Lord Jesus. The giant is destroyed by the Lord Jesus. The giant is down. The giant is broken down. He is destroyed, and we're going to cut his head off. We're not going to let him linger around and come back again. We do that through the power flowing from the resurrection. Paul said in Philippians 3 in verse number 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3, Ephesians 1, Hebrews, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection, the power of the endless life of Jesus is filling the church, giving us life, giving us liberty, giving us wisdom, giving us the, can we say, the preparedness, can I say, giving us also the strength to fight the battle. And he fights the battles through us. He didn't depend on the church to fight the battle. He fought the battle. He won the battle. We have the victory in Christ. And he gives us this power flowing through us, in us, indwelling us, to destroy, and he's destroyed already the works of the devil, but we don't have to let the devil bounce us around. Don't give him an inch in your life where he can get a stronghold. We can ask the Lord Jesus, and he will. Lord, take that away. Casting aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before. Lay aside the weights. Get rid of that. Lord, do that in me. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Then fill me with your Spirit, your power. We have his Spirit. We have the very Spirit of God in us as believers. Do not forget this. The resurrection of Christ is working as powerful today as if you walked with Jesus this morning on the road to Emmaus. That power of the Spirit. Even more so because they only walked with Jesus. But you have him in you. I have him in me. Let me give you a few thoughts here real quickly. Hopelessness, brokenness, loss has been with the human family a lot longer than just these past few years when we've seen our nation turned upside down and all kinds of craziness and things that are just totally ludicrous. We see all that happen, but it's been with us a lot longer than that. Hopelessness, brokenness, lawlessness, loss. Adam and Eve began with it. Might as well go back there. Adam and Eve did it. And they did it. And here's what we got to not do. They did it by moving the boundaries. God had set a boundary in their life. Just one. You can do everything you want to do. Anything you want to do in this garden. Take care of all of it. Only one boundary. Don't take the tree of life. Just don't touch it. Don't eat of it. Really, they could touch it because they had to groom the garden, prune the garden. But don't eat of it. Only one prohibition, just one. But in their mind, And here's what our problem is. And their mind was, I know better than God. Satan only had to make that suggestion. You know, God's holding out on you here. And you probably know better than he does. Yeah. And Eve says, the tree is good. It's pretty. And smell of that. Wow. I know God said this, but I'm going to move the boundary. I know better than God. So she did. She moved the boundary. Adam was there, eyes wide open. He wasn't deceived, Timothy tells us. He was not deceived. So he took of it too. Both of them thinking, I know better than God. The biggest problem we always have is we know better than God. Now think of this for a moment. All right, she said that. I know better than God. The boundary was moved. And from that time on, boundaries have continued to be moved. What happened? It opened a Pandora's box. You know that. Sin and suffering came into the human family. And in chapter 4, that all happened in chapter 3. The boundary on the sanctity and preciousness and value of human life was moved. So Cain killed his brother Abel. So there that boundary was moved. Human life is not as precious. So move the boundary. I know better than God, Adam and Eve. And it opened this Pandora's box, and the next boundary is moved is the sanctity of human life. And we still believe that today. I say we, America, we don't. But Americans, you know, that baby's not a human being. Just a glob of cells in you. The sanctity of human life, we're still moving the boundaries. Another thing, I'm still in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 6, the sanctity of marriage was moved. Here you had the sons of God that were having relationships with women. Now whether it's very likely, I don't understand this completely and I won't take any certain position on it. These sons of God being some kind of celestial beings. Giants came from that. Goliath, no doubt, came from a union of this. Somehow, generations after generations, that came to pass. So there the boundary was moved in marriage and the men and women. And the boundary of murder, or excuse me, the boundary of life has already been moved, the boundary of marriage. So let's just keep moving them. Genesis chapter 11. You know the floods come. God says only found eight. Only could get eight. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. At least around that time. Could have been 125 or more. But he was a preacher of righteousness. He told the truth. And of all those, what I think is at least a billion people on planet Earth at that time. Many people think, oh, there wasn't but probably 100 folk. Oh, no. They lived so long, 900 years, and had sons and daughters, and there was billions of people on planet Earth. No question about it before the flood came. And then after the flood, then we know that another boundary was moved, and that's the boundary of the government. Politics boundary was moved. God says, I'm the only one that you're to worship. Noah, his sons and their wives started the race again. Heard something this week, heard it or read it this past week, and scientist, graduate of Harvard, I think it was, tremendous education, he was telling how through his studies and his research and other groups that every single human being on planet Earth traced their lineage back to Noah. Think about that. And this guy, I mean, he's got PhDs everywhere and in everything. Super smart dude. And he's a Christian. And he said, hey, every human being traces their lineage back. So they started out again. And they moved the boundaries. Here comes... Here comes old Nimrod, and he says, I'm going to build a tower to heaven. We ain't going to worship Jehovah God. We got a lot. We're too smart for that. We're going another direction. And so they did. So the political boundaries, the governmental boundaries was moved. Instead of worshiping one God, that's what they were going to do. And we know the Lord confused their language. And in so doing, so that they couldn't all come together and worship another God besides Jehovah God. Now, I showed you that. I'm still in the book of Genesis. I hadn't even got out of the 11th chapter. And the boundaries were always moved. And they're continuing to be moved today. We know that, don't we? Even to the point that some, and this irks me, I read these things where progressive churches, woke churches, have said, and I wrote down some quotes. One of them said this, the scriptures are inspired, but they were written only for the first century Christians, and they're not relevant for our day. Just not for us. Another quote. The writers of the Bible didn't have to deal with the culture like ours. Both of these are totally untrue. Totally. Go back to Leviticus. In Leviticus, 1,500 years before Christ, read the stories of the sins that was going on in the land of Canaan. Every sin that America is involved in today and the world's involved in today, the Canaanites were doing. There's no new sin. Men's been plain old rotten, stinking old sinners like we all have. We all know nobody invents a new sin. Nobody comes up with something. There have been other folks that if they'd had litter in those days, they'd had litter boxes, Roy. If there'd been other people, that everything else would have happened. The whole thing that we're seeing today, I know it astounds us, but it's happened centuries before Jesus came. And not only that, when Paul went to Ephesus and he went to Corinth and he was preaching to these people, they were involved in everything. Satan worship, demonic worship, everything, everywhere. Any kind of sensual sin, temple prostitutes, everything going on. You name it, it was there, it was going on. We don't have any new sin. We got faster cars to get us somewhere quicker and could do more, but they were involved in it. And the Word of God was there for them. And the Word of God is here for us. It's true. It's eternal. It is settled. What did I say? We have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When our culture and our politicians from the top down saying we're going to move the boundary. We're going to move the boundary. Your kids, the president said a couple of weeks ago, all the children in America are our children. No, they're not. You're not getting Easton and Ava and Christian. That's my grandbabies and Allison. You're not going to get them. Crazy nut. Excuse me for saying that about the president, but Mr. Crazy Nut. Anyway, you're not getting my kids. Or my grandkids, they don't belong to the government, they belong to me. They belong to you parents. God gave them to you. Listen, they can move, they're moving the boundaries from the top down. What's the church supposed to do? Oh, scripture's not written, it's written for back then. What we need to do is acquiesce to, you know, whatever they say. And we're going to just accept it. And now listen, we love everybody. We love. We want every person to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Satan throws something at you like this. Well now, and here's again something the progressive churches are saying. Now, Brad Davis, you and those conservative believers, you lack love. But wait a minute.
Is it really love to tell someone, you go ahead and be a cat today, but if you get out in the road, a car is going to run over and kill you? Is it really love to tell them, allow them to just do what they feel, or put a barrier, put a boundary up and say, listen, God made you in His image. You are important to Him. He loves you. He wants to be your Savior and take you to heaven one day. And there ain't no cats in heaven. Maybe some dogs. We talked about that a week or so ago. Sandra's mad at me because she's got midnight. I'm sorry, honey. I hope he's still alive. If I go home and he's been killed, I am in for it. But anyway, let's move off of cats. Let's get over here. I'm saying this. What is love? Love is telling the truth that is eternally true and hiding that in their heart. The Americans has a 4% Bible view. 4% now. That means 96% does not look through the lens of the Bible to see if what they're doing is right or wrong. Which means there's no repentance. There's no kind of feeling in their hearts that I even belong to somebody that I have to be responsible to. But if we as the church say, listen, you are responsible and you will be responsible and you're going to stand before a holy God one day and we're all going to stand before a holy God, we're all responsible, then repentance is in order. And it is. What I'm saying to us tonight, church, I'm finished right now. I want to close out with this. I'm already 5 minutes over schedule. But never, here's the wonderful truth, never, never, never in the days of Noah, in the days of Leviticus, in the Canaanites, never, ever, ever has the badness of man overpowered the goodness of God. Yeehaw, hallelujah. The goodness of God has overpowered the badness of men. Every single time man has failed, God sent a way for redemption. They could get on the boat. They could repent and believe. Every single time, no matter where the human failure, that's what convinced that atheist, former atheist now, that the Lord let me lead him to Jesus years ago. That's what convinced him. I just started in Genesis, kind of like I did tonight, and showed him where humans failed all the time and God provided a way out. God provided a way out. And man would mess up again. He provided another way. God messed up again. And God provided another way till Jesus came and provided the way. And I said, right there it is, old buddy. And he said this, an atheist who had told me, I hate you. I don't know why I'm here. I don't even like church. I hate churches. I hate you. I don't like you. Here I am this morning. I'm here, and I thank God for this. Holy Ghost conviction. Paul Eads, one of our deacons. Many of you don't know him, but many do. Paul and Stella prayed for this atheist. And after Paul had gone home to heaven, this atheist calls me, actually his wife, and prayer got to hold the old boy. And when he showed up at them front doors that Monday morning and told me all this, I don't like you, I don't like church, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe there's a God. He went through his whole rigmarole. And then he said this, but for some reason, last night, I got scared to death. And he was trembling like that. I've never been scared of anybody. I've never been scared of anything. But why am I shaking? And I told him, because a holy God that you don't think exist is speaking to you, boy. All the badness of men never conquers the goodness of God. Yeehaw! Hallelujah. I love you. Thank you. Bye.